Have you ever wondered what happens after death? Have you ever wanted to have life? In today's sermon, we see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Join me as we read from John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26. It says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So her brother is Lazarus. And Lazarus had just passed away. And Mary and Martha were saying, hey, send to Jesus because we know that Jesus can keep him alive. And so they go and they get Jesus, but Jesus says, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait a few days and then I'm going to go to Lazarus. And so Jesus is out there and he waits for a while and then Jesus finally gets to Mary and Martha. And this is where this is happening. This is why Martha says this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Lord, or do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for how great and awesome you are, Lord. We thank you for being an almighty God, Lord, for being a God who sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, to be a God who sent Jesus to be the one who could give us life, to be the one to be the resurrection. Lord, I pray that as I proclaim your word, Lord, that I'm just a mouthpiece for you, and that I preach with simplicity, clarity, and passion, Lord. Lord, I pray that we all clear our minds and we turn our hearts to you. We turn our eyes to you. We turn our ears to you, Lord. And we focus all that on you, Lord. So we can see you and your word here today. Lord, we love you and we praise you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Death is inevitable. It is a reality, unfortunately. It is a reality. It is true. 100% true, no matter what some people may tell you, that everybody is going to die. Death cannot be escaped. And because death is a reality, a question that often comes to mind for people is, what happens after death? What happens? What happens after death? And let me just say, there are many, many, many answers out there. All the major religions answer this question differently. Some believe that when one dies, they are reincarnated and will then be themselves again in a later life. Some believe that they will become an animal in a later life. Some believe that you will go to heaven or hell. Some believe that nothing happens. You just cease to exist. These are all just variations of what people think happens after death. But as evangelical Christians, we believe that there is an afterlife and that life will either be heaven or hell. We believe that those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and repent of their sins will enter into heaven. But those who do not believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and trust in Him will go to hell. And that should drive us as Christians. It should drive us as Christians to be sharing the gospel with those around us. If we truly believe that those who don't believe are going to hell, why would we not want to tell them about Jesus, the one who can give them life so they can go to heaven? We must begin to get to know those people around us, to know the people who are in our sphere of influence, in hopes of being able to share the gospel with them. It should drive us to want to share the gospel with them, because our hearts should be breaking over the place that those who don't believe will spend eternity. We must obey the Great Commission given by Jesus to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. As a church, we must begin thinking outwardly. What can we do for the community around us so they can hear and see Jesus? Are you friends with your neighbors? Do you know those that are around you? When was the last time that you had a conversation with your neighbor or with someone, people around you, about Jesus? Are you being a light to those around you? As Christians, we must be the type of people that when those around us have a crisis, have a tragedy, that something bad happens, that we are people they come to because they see that we have a hope that they don't have. Are you that person for those around you? Do they know that if they needed prayer, that they could ask you to pray for them? My purpose in preaching this sermon today from John chapter 11 is for you to begin to share Christ to those around you, because you will see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who gives life. That you will begin sharing Christ to those around you because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Going back to the question of what happens after death. As Christians, we also believe that there is a resurrection that will happen in the future. Just as Christ was raised from the dead after 3 days in the grave, so too will we be resurrected. We're not going to be re-resurrected. So too will we be resurrected. I'll elaborate more on this here soon in my first point. But the difference that I hope the sermon brings for you is that you will see the glory of who Jesus is as the resurrection and the life, and that it will impact your life so much that you will want to share Jesus because He is your life. As I hope by now, you know that we are working through the I Am statements of Jesus, the 7 I Am statements that are made throughout the book of John. Today we are on the 5th I Am statement, so we have 2 more weeks after this of going through the I Am statements. The hope that we're going through these is that we are able to answer the question of who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Because as we go through these I Am statements, we see who Jesus is. And through answering this question, my prayer, my hope is that we will fall in love with Jesus more. We will see the impact that He has on our lives. Our understanding of Him will propel us forward to just want to know more of Jesus and His Word. In our past sermons here, we have seen that Jesus is the bread of life. We've seen that Jesus is the light of the world. That Jesus is the door of the sheep. And last week we saw that Jesus is the good shepherd. And today we will see that Jesus is the resurrection and that Jesus is the life. And these two, just kind of give you a little kind of background here, they're two separate things. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and Jesus is the life. So that means there's two main focuses in our sermon today. In our passage, we will see 2 promises of who Jesus is. 2 promises of who Jesus is. The first promise that we see is that Jesus is the resurrection. That Jesus is the resurrection. So as we read in verses 21 through 25, we saw that Martha came to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And in verse 24, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Right here in verse 25, we see that Jesus is the resurrection. He says, "I am the resurrection." Jesus is once again making a claim. A claim that puts Him on the same level as God. In this passage of chapter 11 as a whole, we actually don't see the backlash or the controversy that happens as we have saw in all the previous statements. Because something greater happens after this. If you remember and you continue reading through chapter 11, what actually happens? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Think of the controversy that created. No wonder they forgot about this statement. Because after He raised Lazarus from the dead, what did the Jews want to do? They wanted to kill Him. They wanted to kill Jesus. So what does Jesus mean when He says, "I am the resurrection"? And for me, this begs a couple questions. How is it even possible for Jesus to be the resurrection? Why is Jesus able to make this claim that He is the resurrection? What is the resurrection? So we're going to answer two questions about Jesus being the resurrection. The first question we should ask is, what is the resurrection? What is it? What is the resurrection that Jesus is speaking of? To give a very short answer, a very, very short answer, I'm going to give you a bigger answer, but to give you a very short answer so you have an idea of where we're going, the resurrection is the day when Christ returns and all who have passed will be raised up out of the grave to go to the great white throne to be judged. This is the simple answer. But to be more fully understand, we're going to dive into it and what Christ means when He says, "I am the resurrection." We must first think of the time when Jesus said this. Jesus was alive when He said this. He had not yet been to the cross. He had not yet been raised from the dead. Jesus had not had that happen yet. But we must first understand this the way that Martha understood it. Martha knew that there was a resurrection that was to come. After Jesus had told Martha that her brother would rise again, she responded by saying, "I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Martha understood that there would be a resurrection. And the only way she could have known this was from the Old Testament. So what does the Old Testament say about the resurrection? Because I think far too often we forget that the Old Testament also speaks of the resurrection. So what does the Old Testament say about it? How would Martha have known this? A very clear passage that would have expressed this is Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And it says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Martha, I believe, would have known this verse. She would have understood that at some point in the future, that those whose name is found written in the book would be delivered. She would have known that those who are asleep in the dust of the earth will awake. But she also knows that not all will enter into everlasting life. As verse 2 says, "Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." In other words, some to heaven, and some to hell. This means that it is not only believers that are raised, but also unbelievers. So all bodies who have passed, every single person who has passed, would be raised. But the outcome of those bodies that are raised is entirely different. Talk about that a little bit later. But based on these two verses, we see that the resurrection is a time that will come in the future. Another passage in the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19. It says, "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead." In this verse, we see that the dead shall rise, that bodies shall rise, that the earth will give forth to the dead. This passage is telling us that our tombs that we will soon one day be buried in are only temporary, that our bodies will only be in the tomb for a short time. but will one day be raised. Martha knew this. It is why she said that news, why she said that Lazarus would be raised on the last day. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a whole chapter about the resurrection. In verse 20 through 23, we get an idea of what happens when the resurrection comes. It says in verse 20, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And when he says fallen asleep, he just means those who have passed. This is a very nice way of saying it, if that makes sense. But as by a man came death, and he's talking about Adam, by Adam came death, by a man, this is Christ, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Paul teaches here that the resurrection of the dead will happen because of Christ. Christ's resurrection also proves that there will be a future resurrection. Paul even gives an order for this resurrection, saying that Christ is the first to have been risen, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ will be raised. This is the resurrection. The resurrection happens when Christ returns. And all who are dead will be raised. And this is to show that Christ has truly overcome and conquered sin and death. This leads to our second question. How is Jesus the resurrection? What makes Jesus the resurrection? Why is Jesus able to make this claim? Jesus is able to make this claim because he is the reason for the resurrection. He is the reason the resurrection happens. In John chapter 6, Jesus teaches that he is the one who will raise up those who believe in him. Jesus says four different times, "And I will raise him up." He says it in verse 39, verse 40, verse 44, and verse 54, all in chapter 6. Jesus is literally saying here that he is the resurrection, that he will raise them up. And he can say this because he knows that he is the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18 is another passage of Christ and his return and the resurrection. This also helps us answer our question about how Jesus is the resurrection. So verse 14 through 17, it says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, with a cry of the command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, those here on this earth, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." This is what Paul writes. Church, the reason that Christ is the resurrection is because it is by his return that we are resurrected. It is through Jesus that God brings those who have fallen asleep. It is at the coming of the Lord, when the Lord descends from heaven, will the dead in Christ rise first. Jesus is the resurrection because his return is the reason why the resurrection happens. On that day, every individual body will reunite with their soul. Those who are believers who are in heaven, and those who don't believe who are in hell, on that day our bodies will reunite with our soul. But for us believers, it isn't our old body. It is a new body. We will receive a new body. I have no idea what this new body will look like, but I know this. We will receive a new body. And then we will appear before the great white throne, as Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15 teaches. We will all be judged, believer, unbeliever alike. Those who believe, whose name is in the book of life, will go on to the new heaven and the new earth, as detailed in chapter 21 of Revelation. But for the unbeliever, in verse 15 of chapter 20, it teaches that they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus, in John chapter 11, would go on and prove Himself to be the one who can resurrect. Prove that He has the power to resurrect the dead. To resurrect all those who are asleep by raising Lazarus from the dead. Displaying His power over death. Jesus would arrive 4 days late, the day in which a person would officially be declared dead, because they have already begun to stink. But Jesus would tell Lazarus to come out. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus would get up and walk out with his hands and his feet all bound together in linen. They'd unwrap him. He'd walk away freely because Jesus had raised him. Church, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus has the power to resurrect. And this is why we as a church must always be living with Christ on our minds and telling others of Him, speaking the gospel to those around us. Because not only is Jesus the one who brings the resurrection of the future and raises the dead, He is also the one who resurrects dead hearts now and gives them life. At one time, we as believers were dead in our sins. We were dead, dead people. We were then given life when we believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior and repented of our sins. Our hearts were changed. Our hearts were brought from death to life. That is our testimony. We were brought from death to life. Our hearts were resurrected only for us to be resurrected again from our physical death to enjoy life, eternal life in heaven. We share the gospel now in hopes that those who don't believe will believe in Jesus and receive life, because Jesus is the life. And that leads us to our second promise. The second promise we see in this passage is that Jesus is the life. It's pretty simple. My outlines are pretty simple. I hope you guys can figure that out by now. I just take scripture and I make it my outline. And I think that's the best way to do it. So the second promise we see in this passage is that Jesus is the one who is the life. Jesus, being the one who is the life, has been something we've touched on for about every I am statement that we've went through. We've touched on it just a little bit. In the first statement, Jesus said that He is the bread of life, making a very similar statement to what He is making here. 2 weeks ago, when we discussed Jesus as the door of the sheep, we talked about He came to give life and give it abundantly. Last week, we talked about Jesus being the good shepherd who laid down His life so those who believe in Him have life. In future sermons, we will read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Yes, I think that's right. I'm confused. Anyway, but in the future, we're going to read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe this repetition by Jesus, as He's saying all of this throughout all of the book of John, is by no mistake. It's seen throughout it, because Jesus values the repetition of making known to people that He is the life, and that believers will have life only through Him. Which is why we will dig deep into this passage and talk about how Jesus is the life once again. Look at verse 25 and 26 in John chapter 11. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Within this verse, there are two things for us to recognize. The first thing is that Jesus is the life. But what does He mean by this? How is he the life? As I said, Jesus speaks of this a lot, and John writes of Jesus being the life often. It was part of his goal through writing the book. John wanted people to see that Jesus is the life and believe. John begins with this description in the very beginning of chapter 1. John is wanting people to know who Jesus is. And one of the things he wanted to bring to the forefront of who Jesus is that Jesus is the life. So, in John chapter 1, verse 4, John writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus came to this earth with life already in him. Jesus came with life to give life. And his life is the light of men, as chapter 1, verse 4 teaches. Even more so, we read that it was the Father who gave him life. Look at John chapter 5, verse 26. Jesus says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." Jesus teaches here that it was the Father who gives Jesus life. Jesus has life because the Father gave it to him. In John chapter 6, we learn that Jesus was the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven to give life, as verse 33 teaches. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." As we've already learned, Jesus is the bread of life. And this bread is full of life. And Jesus is saying, "I am that bread. I am the one that is full of life." And he wants to give life to those that believe in him. Jesus, throughout all these passages, is making known to everyone that he is the life. And he's making it clear that he is the only one who has life. And that means he is the only one who can give life. No one else can give life because they don't have life in them. And that leads us to the second thing for us to know. Those who believe will live forever. Those who believe in Jesus will live forever. If you look at the end of verse 25 and beginning in 26, it says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus in this verse alone is telling everyone around him that if one believes in him, if one believes in Jesus, that even though they will die, they will live. Believing in Jesus results in life. Believing in Jesus results in living forever. Though he die, yet shall he live. Even though a believer is going to die a physical death one day, we shall live. But not only shall he live or will live, he will never die. He will never die. He'll live forever. And believers can have this only because Jesus is the life. And he wants to give life to those who believe so they can live forever. Church, do you realize what this means for you as a believer? It means that you have eternal life. Are you living your life as if you know this? As if you know that you have eternal life? Why are we not living our lives as people who remembers and knows this every day? Why are we not overwhelmed with the grace that Jesus has shown us because of the eternal life that he has given us? This life that we are given isn't just for now in the present time. It is forever. It is why our bodies will be resurrected. It is why after we are judged at the great white throne that we will live for eternity with a new body and the new heaven and the new earth. Church, we can't forget this. We can't forget the joy and hope that we have because of this life that we are given. We can't forget that there are people around us every day of our lives that don't have this life. That don't have life in them. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't have eternal life. They will not be living forever. They don't have joy. They don't have hope. And we must tell them of Jesus.
We must tell them how He is the life, how He's the one that gives life, how He is, and He can't be their joy, and He can't be their hope. We must do that as believers in Jesus. Maybe right now, you are that person that needs to be told this. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't have life. You don't have eternal life. You don't have hope. You don't have joy. Friend, let me tell you, Jesus is the only one who can give you life. Jesus is the only one that can give you true hope. Jesus is the only one who can give you true joy. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins. Believe that He was born of a virgin. Believe that He lived a sinless life, a life of no mistakes. Believe that He died a sacrificial death on the cross for you. Believe that He rose again after 3 days in the grave and ascended back to the Father in heaven, and you will be saved. Believe in Jesus. I'm going to ask you the same question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the life? In our sermon today, we have seen two promises of who Jesus is. We have seen that Jesus is the resurrection, that He is the one who will bring the resurrection when He returns, and that all people who are raised will be and will go before judgment. And we have seen that Jesus is the life, that He is given life from the Father, and that He has life in Him, and He wants to give life to those who believe in Him. Eternal life. But now, what are we to do with this? This is the question we have to ask every week. What are we to do with knowing this? How are we to live this out, knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? So there's two ways that we can live this out. The first way is that we live with hope. We live with hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brother." This is Paul writing to the people of Thessalonians, and he is telling them, "I don't want you to be informed, brothers, about what's going to happen, what's happened, the resurrection, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do not have no hope." And what he is saying here is that there are people asking what happens after death. And Paul wants them to know, because he don't want them to grieve as those who don't believe in Jesus, because those who don't believe in Jesus have no hope. They have no hope. And what he's saying is that we as believers have a hope. We have a hope. He's teaching of the coming of Christ and what happens. And he's telling that those who don't believe don't have hope, but those who do believe have hope. We have hope. We have hope in Christ that He is going to return and that we will live eternally in heaven. We have a hope. Let us cling to that hope in hard times. Let us cling to that hope in difficult times. Let us cling to that hope in dark times. Because that hope is Jesus and Him alone. Cling to Jesus. It's verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches, "Therefore encourage one another with these words." As Christians, we should be encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ of this hope that we have. Let us be a church that remembers the hope we have, and a church that encourages those in our church of who Jesus is and how Jesus is our hope. The second way we can live this out is by telling others of this hope. That we tell others of this hope that we have. Since we have the hope, and those who don't believe don't have the hope of Christ in them, why would we not want to tell others of this hope that we have as believers? Why would we not want to tell people that they can have hope in difficult times, that they can have hope in challenging times, that they can have hope in dark times. There are people that are fighting battles without hope. People who don't know this hope. Let us be a people who tell them about this hope. Let us be a church who tells them about Jesus and how He can give them life now and also life for eternity. Be an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador of hope. If you're here today and earlier, you made a decision to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, to believe Him, to receive life, I'd love to have a conversation with you and talk about these next steps in our journey to heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for sending Jesus, Lord, to be the resurrection, to be the life, Lord. Lord, we praise You that one day in the future that we will be resurrected and that we will go and spend eternal life forever in heaven, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as a church, we will remember that we have this hope. That we have this hope in who You are as Christ. I hope that You are the life that we can have, Lord. And that we will take that life and share it with others. That we will share Jesus with those around us, Lord. Because there are so many people who are fighting battles and living their life without hope. May we be a people who shares that hope, Lord. Lord, we love You and we praise You so much for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon today from Neely's Bend Baptist Church. If you have any questions, please reach out to Austin at neelysbendbaptist.org.